Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing on what. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't. I ain't letting him write.
He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shots and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the office, we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
Today is our man in Washington, D.C. It's Charles Fishman's birthday. And his wife is at home. She's helping her elderly parents. That's not good. You don't have to apply that.
You know, I thought you'd been at home with him.
No, she's
sorry,
not.
Sorry, you left it hanging.
She's off helping the elderly parents, and so Charles is alone on his birthday. So I think any of you who are on X or Twitter should boost him up by wishing him a happy birthday.
You should have led with he's home alone.
Charles is home alone. Charles is home alone on his birthday. On his 63rd birthday. Everyone knows how big the 63rd birthday is. So anyway, you got to wish our man in Washington, D.C. a very happy birthday. Jason Smith's going to join us in the next segment. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. That is the lineup for today. And, of course, we got a big weekend for several reasons. One is...
It's Mania weekend. It's the showcase of the Immortals.
It is, of course. I was about to say that. You jumped in before I could even get it out of my mouth. It is the showcase of the Immortals.
Yes.
And so that's one reason it's a big weekend. That's really number one for me. Number two, Showboats home opener tomorrow. How about that? Showboats home opener tomorrow.
And they're undefeated.
They're having all kinds of festivities and whatnot. You go over to the Liberty Bowl, not a bad sight seat in the place.
No. We always know there's nothing but great silence.
Sightlines are beautiful, and the team is undefeated. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to get behind an undefeated Showboats team. Buy the merch, wear it with pride. That's tomorrow, so that's fun. We got the Marc Gasol retirement extravaganza, jersey retirement extravaganza, or whatever it is, numbers in the rafters party tomorrow night. So that's going to be fun. You'll be there for that.
Indeed.
And then we got both Final Fours. Tonight, the women, NC State, Purdue, UConn, and Alabama. And then...
No. Try it again.
I'm sorry. I had it the other way. Yes, I'm sorry. UConn, Purdue, NC State. What did I just say? The men. I was looking at the women.
Yep. And you did not nail that either. So tonight, the early game is NC State, South Carolina.
And then UConn, Iowa tonight. That's the women's game.
Tonight.
That's the matchup of the two, between UConn and Iowa, you got the last three winners of the Player of the Year.
Correct.
There. Caitlin Clark and
Paige then Becker. you did nail tomorrow night's Final Four,
and then you've got to.
But you nailed it for the women's. Yes.
Then I had. And then tomorrow. Anyway, my apologies. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that the TV ratings tonight will equal the TV ratings the other night when it was?
Is Iowa. Tonight also simulcast on ABC? I know the final is. But I'm not certain.
I don't. I just top of my head, I don't believe it.
I don't think it is either.
There was more.
So I'm going to say no. But I do think Sunday. I do think Sunday could be a bigger.
We'll do better.
Yes, because I do know Sunday is going to be on ABC.
And Sunday, we're expecting it will be Iowa, South Carolina. Right?
No,
you're not convinced.
Nah.
You think UConn can beat Iowa?
Yeah, because I think UConn overall.
You don't think South Carolina's going to win.
Lose. I think South Carolina will be there on Sunday.
Right.
I think South Carolina's got everybody right where they want them.
And,
all this conversation.
All about everybody else.
Everybody's talking about everything
about
else, and they're 36-0. I think that is exactly where they want to be.
They are the best team. And what did you think yesterday? Beckers was asked about if now that Caitlin Clark is going pro, if she expects to step into that role of being the focal point in the whatever for college basketball. And she said, I would hope that we could spread the love a little more. I don't want to be in that. I would hope that we could spread the love a little more. Was that in any way shade at Caitlin Clark for hogging?
I think it's exactly.
Or was it just like,
to me, like that's the gracious
thing to say.
When you're asking like, why am I considering UConn? Like in the end, Iowa, before Caitlin Clark, was nothing.
Well, if Caitlin Clark had gone to UConn, would she be Caitlin Clark?
I think she would be a lot like Paige Buechers.
Well, except Paige Buechers has partly been the injuries that have
right,
as much
but,
as anything.
But
you think there it's just an assembly line of great players,
correct.
And so no one stands out.
Exactly.
Anyway, we got that.
She would be the next great UConn.
So we've got tremendous basketball. Well, we've got intriguing basketball tonight. We've got intriguing basketball. Who knows if you can talk yourself into either of those semifinals being competitive? It's nice because at least those of us who will be at the Grizzlies celebrating Marc Gasol's career won't feel like we're missing out on classics.
Well,
right?
Listen, y'all, it's 2024.
It is 2024.
If you can't,
for you,
can't pull something up on your phone.
For you, it is. For you, it's 2024.
Yeah. Oh, that's
for some of us, it's still 1983.
No, it's still, it's best. Last I checked, it is 2024.
For some of us, it's still 1983.
For literally everyone.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You wondered how the Grizzlies, because they got a game tonight, you know. They got a game tonight against the Pistons. Now, the Pistons, no Cade Cunningham for the Pistons. But the great Malachi Flynn should be available, ready to put up big numbers. Here's who's out for the Grizzlies tonight. Ready? In addition to all the usual folks, right, like Morant and D. Rose and Marcus Smart, who else counts as usual? Zaire, are we counting him as usual
anymore?
Yeah,
because I think, didn't they announce last week, like, well, there's reports last week that they're done. That Zaire and Derek are done for the year.
And Vince Williams. Watanabe is out for personal reasons.
Yeah, Mark was also telling me that he did a podcast or something in Japan, and like it implied...
He's done.
It implied that he's
heading
going
off into the sunset.
Yeah, well, no, that he's going to go play... Like, he'd rather play in Japan
than
ride the bench in the NBA.
John Conchar, right plantar fasciitis. But then... Headlining tonight's, we got Kennard is doubtful.
We got an ABC, Jeff.
Kennard is doubtful. And then we've got Aldama.
We got Aldama, Bane Clark, ABC. Yeah.
And Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Aldama is out with right foot soreness.
I hate when that happens.
Bane with a lumbar disc bulge.
I mean, that sounds painful.
Brandon Clark with left Achilles injury maintenance, which I approve of.
Yes.
I approve of
yes.
left Achilles injury
yeah,
maintenance.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And Jaren with a right quadriceps tendonitis.
Which, can you ask one of your
How many of your siblings are doctors?
None of them are orthopedics. They're all
okay, but they would at least. White. I've never heard of until this year. I've never heard of quad tendonitis.
Anyway, and so that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 players who are out, and Luke Kennard, who is doubtful for tonight's Pistons game. Now, whenever anyone asks, in fact, it happened just last week. Someone was suggesting that it was like it might have been Mad Dog, that the UConn team could beat the Wizards or something like that, right? Like, you know?
The answer would be that was Greeny. That was your boy.
And what was he?
Mike Greenberg.
And what was
so
he saying?
So he was saying that that UConn could beat, was it the Wizards? I think it was the Pistons. But he suggested, he basically straight up said the Wizard or the UConn would beat whoever the worst team in the NBA was. And then literally the next day, he walked it back and basically is like, good. they would get murdered.
Good. Because that's the truth.
Yes.
I mean, having said that,
no one loves this Pups team more than I do.
Having said that,
they would lose to every NBA team.
Having said that, the team, who are the Grizzlies going to start tonight?
Okay, so who does that even leave? So we know Luke is doubtful.
Yeah, let's say he's out. So we got Gigi.
So
we got Jemison. We got Scotty.
Do we still have Scotty? Do we still have games?
We got Scotty. We got Laravia.
Okay.
You got Goodwin.
Sure.
Here's the truth though. Like you can say, well, how did that team? That's G Leaguers, and how does that team beat UConn?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, you look at it. Laravia was a first round pick. Gigi is, you know, what was at least heading
first
into,
round talent.
First that's round how, talent. That's how we're, that's was how we're first round talent was. Scotty put up what at Vandy? What did he like? A tremendous college basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous college ball basketball player. They'd still win, but
it'd be close.
Are we giving Greeny a little bit of a little room to argue here that this might actually be competitive?
Nah, because Greeny did the thing where he thought, like, he just got caught up in the moment and he didn't concentrate.
We're not talking about, he took takes for granted.
That's why I'm upset with Greeny.
We're not talking about, though, a hell. I'm talking, this version of the Grizzlies team.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable. By the way, and by the way, they're doing the right thing because what they're doing is they're putting.
Everyone's going to play tomorrow.
Everyone's playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine honoring Mark with a crap ass effort? When we know that Mark, after beating, if you watch the documentary, Mark, after beating Brooklyn, Jaren going nuts, he goes in and he trashes the locker room, kicks the garbage can because they didn't play the right way.
So
the way
can
you
I imagine
honor Mark
it?
Is you.
Yes, yes. Actually, I've now spin-zoned it. I kind of wish they were doing that. Could you imagine how great it would be on Mark Gasol night for
if
Mark
just
to get.
He loses it, just walks
to,
out?
No. Just to give a lecture. For like just 30 minutes about that's not basketball. That would be the most fitting Mark. Like that would be the ultimate way to honor Marcus Saul on his night.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm glad the Grizzlies are going to honor him appropriately with the best roster that they can muster. That seems only appropriate that they do that, and they'll make it through tonight, right? They'll make it through tonight one way or another. It's against the
God
Pistons.
Willing.
If you are interested in seeing Jalen Duren or James Wiseman back in the house, by all means. But otherwise...
Are we for sure Duren's back?
Otherwise, no, I don't know. Otherwise, go buy tickets for tomorrow night's Marc Gasol extravaganza because it should be fun. Do you recall, by the way, I mean, seeing Mark around town, seeing the photos from Le Bonheur yesterday,
yeah.
It just warms your heart, right? It just warms your heart.
Absolutely.
Because that connection to the city is 100% real. There's nothing inauthentic about it. Like, Mark playing with the kids at Le Bonheur looked, you know, like he's done it a million times. And
million might be a stretch, but he's done it more
he's
than
done it. He's done it multiple
correct.
Times.
He didn't have to call and say, where am I supposed to park?
The story that the guy who was head of palliative care at St. Jude once told me was that Mark held up the team plane because there was a kid who was dying and wanted to see Mark. And And he finally, they tried to go through the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies are very cooperative in setting this stuff up. They're very supportive, of course, of St. Jude and people involved. But this particular time, they did whatever. So I think they just tweeted out, Mark, you know, like bat signal.
Yeah.
This guy really, this kid is in desperate straits, and Mark took it upon himself to get himself to St. Jude so he could be with this kid, and the kid died within days. And that is who Mark is. As I said in one of my brief appearances in the documentary, Mark sees suffering. Like, he doesn't shy away from it.
Yep.
You saw it when he spent part of his summer helping refugees literally out of the sea. And you saw it with the time that he spent at St. Jude, and you saw it like that. It's part of who he was and what he did. But it is interesting because he was criticized when he was, like, there were definitely Mark critics who would say, why doesn't he take over games? Like, that sort of thing.
Oh, I would even say, like, a large portion of the fan base.
In terms of, like, great players who were criticized here.
Well, his brother's the gold standard.
Well, his brother and Mike Connolly, particularly early Mike.
Yeah.
And his brother were the gold standard in great players who were criticized, literally pilloried by, on radio shows.
Yes.
Were just taken apart for being soft, mm-hmm. dribble, 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 bounce, 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 whatever else. Pow, and Mike in particular. Then, I don't think Mark had a large percentage of the fan base that was critical of his approach to the game, is why doesn't he take over the game? But it was one of the undercurrents you would hear. I honestly think there were more, if we're talking about other core four players who were criticized, you included,
mm-hmm.
It's more Tony Allen.
Yeah.
Like there were more people who were, loved Tony Allen for what he did.
I disagree with you on that.
No.
Do you want to put it up to a poll?
No.
No, I disagree. I was in the minority, 100%.
Well, but Mark was also Mark.
Mark critics because he didn't get rebounds. Because in the end, Mark doesn't put up the meathead stats, points and rebounds.
Not a large.
Okay. It was definitely a loud group, and I was 100% in the minority.
Scream
about
every
TA.
Time.
Do you realize how many times against my friends I would just get yelled at for being an idiot about Tony Allen?
If we were to do I'm not going to do this poll. If we were to do the poll, because I don't want to even bring the negative into the conversation about Mark. That's why I'm not doing the poll, because I don't want to put it out there on social media.
Mm-hmm.
The poll would be something like, which player was more criticized by Grizzlies fans while they were playing here, while they were players, Tony Allen or Marc Gasol?
Mm-hmm.
And you think Mark would win?
Again, I'm not going to put it up to a poll because that's not scientific, but if we did content analysis, yes, it would be.
Well, we could disagree. We disagree mm-hmm. on stuff. Can you give me any reason to think either of the men's games are going to be close?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it with Alabama.
Threes, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the great equalizer in basketball today. And it's not as if UConn has been an elite shooting team this year. And so, if you do actually get into that situation, yes, that I can easily see where that game is. And then I think on the other game, I mean, DJ Burns has been the best player for NC State, and he has largely been, I think if not for Zach Edey, he might be the best player of the tournament. Well, if he ends up having a special night and Edey ends up having just kind of a meh night.
Yeah, they're both, it's like neither one of these would be the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history. They both seem, for whatever reason, very highly unlikely, right? And some of it's anticipation. I think we want to see Purdue versus UConn.
Totally agree.
So it's not even, I mean, let's be honest, no one wants an upset. No one wants an upset on either of those games. We might enjoy watching it unfold, but no one wants an upset because we want to see what we perceive to be the two best teams and the two monsters playing against each other Monday night.
Yeah, beyond NC State fans and Bama fans, I think everyone collectively.
Yeah, everyone else we want the chalk to win, and we want to get on to Monday night because we want to see that.
Yes.
By the way, Eric Musselman is off to USC. And lots of rumors about who might be in the mix to replace him.
Yep.
At Arkansas, including Chris Beard.
Yes.
And then occasionally people are like, well, they should take a shot at Kelvin Sampson.
Yep. I heard that one yesterday.
Okay.
Well, we had my favorite thing first, though. You got to at least call Dan Hurley.
You got to call Dan Hurley.
I was like, okay.
Got to call Dan Hurley.
Like, people, if we're going to really do this, like, come on.
Yeah, right. So, okay. So let's take those two. Do you consider either of them realistic? Kelvin Sampson first.
Do I think there's
He's not going to take it, right?
Do I think there's a universe where Kelvin Sampson would take the Arkansas job? Sure. I think when you try to game it out, it seems unlikely to me. Chris Beard, I think, very much is in the mix. It seems to me that this is a Chris Beard, Jerome Tang.
Right. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Is it a crappy thing to do if you're Chris Beard? I mean, in the end, you are damaged goods. You are tainted. You've done or alleged to have done some awful things.
Sure.
And Ole Miss
gives you the lifeline. More importantly, they took all the heat for you.
Right. Because right now, now you've been through the washing machine,
yep.
Right? So they laundered you.
Yes.
To give
I would. I don't necessarily know if they laundered you. They took the bullets.
To give them 1 year in exchange.
Yeah.
Is that a crappy thing to do?
I think so, yeah. I think it's fair to say that would be a crappy thing to do.
If he were your son.
Yeah.
Would you say, Chris, you owe Ole Miss more than this. There will be other great opportunities. You owe Ole Miss more than this. Stay, do at least one more year, maybe two at Ole Miss, and then you've paid them back for what they did for you, and then whatever, choose whatever job you want. You're a great coach. There's going to be other opportunities.
Yeah.
Arkansas isn't the... Or would you say, Chris, they knew what they were doing. They were being... They took a risk on you. The only reason they got you is because
you were available.
Were available. It's not like they were lucky to have you. Honestly, they were lucky to have you for a year. It didn't end the way you wanted the year to end. But it's Ole Miss basketball, and Ole Miss basketball and Arkansas basketball, they are not comparable. They are not comparable. Take the Arkansas job, Chris.
Well, first I would say, Chris, can I see the two offer sheets?
Yes. Well, yes.
Like let's not act like that. There's not other. I do think though. If it were my child, I think I would lean towards the first.
I think I would, too, because as good as the Arkansas job is, it's not a never-fail job. We've
Correct.
Seen that.
Well, we've seen Pelfrey got fired.
We've seen
Stan 100%. Heath got fired. Mike Anderson got fired.
So it is not like, everyone wins there.
Right.
I don't. And I actually do. I think Chris Beard's a good coach. I think he will do well at Ole Miss. I think there will be other opportunities. And I think there's something to be said for paying back the people who took her.
I would also have to ask, Chris, do we know if Will Wade would get the Ole Miss job? Because I have fantasy booked in my head.
If
Beard gets the Arkansas job.
When you close
your eyes and you think Ole Miss coach, does Will Wade not look like
That's true.
The poster child? And I love content.
Well, so maybe Ole Miss wouldn't even be that unhappy.
I actually think they'd be unhappy.
So, Kelvin Sampson seems unlikely. Chris Beard seems likely.
Again, if you're telling me Kelvin Sampson is going to take the Arkansas job, I'm not floored. If you tell me Dan Hurley takes the Arkansas job,
that's crazy.
I'm floored. If you tell me Kelvin takes it, I'm surprised, but I'm not sitting there going, like, how on earth did this happen?
Ole Miss also, by the way, they're specializing in this now. Do you know who Quentin Hillsman is?
So that is the former Syracuse women's coach that was...
Just hired as an assistant at Ole Miss.
Did he? I think he technically resigned, correct?
He was forced out at Syracuse.
Yeah.
He was forced out at Syracuse for allegedly mistreating players.
Correct.
And so there's some degree of outrage
mm-hmm.
that Ole Miss... And they people who I've seen writing about it definitely tie it to the Chris Beard thing. They say, what, this is the, you know, first Chris Beard, now Quentin Hillsman, who's alleged to have mistreated his players.
Yeah, the only thing I will the only thing I will actually defend Ole Miss on this one, I do not believe that was, I believe that was a Coach Yeo thing, and she demanded that. And I think Ole Miss did the move of, it's your funeral.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. You we'll let you go down however you want to go. I can see that. Shohei Ohtani hit his first home run as a Dodger.
Mm-hmm.
And did you hear about the controversy about this?
So it's the woman that caught the ball, correct?
Amber Roman.
Okay.
She gets the ball, and she and her husband are there. They've been married for a year. They work for a pipe fitting company or something like that. Not a lot of money, et cetera.
And working people.
Good blue-collar working people. And they are offered a signed hat.
I think
something.
It was Jeff, come on. It was a couple signed hats. No, I think they even threw a bat in.
No, yes, but that's after negotiation.
Ah, that was not the first offer. That was the counter offer.
What they got was two signed hats, a signed bat, and a signed ball.
Yeah.
None of which, though, were authenticated. They were just like whatever. Signed, two signed hats, a signed bat, and a signed ball. And at least according to the stories that have been written about this, and the Dodgers haven't commented except to say, we are open to further discussions about how to handle this. The couple says that they put pressure on her to give up the ball, that they would not authenticate the
which
ball.
Which is huge. Like, in terms of if you're gonna
get value for the ball,
it has
you
to be
need them to authenticate that it is the ball.
Correct.
They wouldn't. They refused to authenticate the ball. And as she was talking to the security about what the offer would be, they wouldn't let her talk to her husband.
Right.
She was separated from her husband.
Yep.
And this ball, according to everybody who's sort of, you know, in the business, is worth, conservatively authenticated, $100,000.
Yep.
That is a crappy ass thing to do.
Correct.
She did not even get to meet Ohtani.
Right. So I don't have any problem buying her side of the story. The question, though,
if that is the true story, it's total crap.
But you can tell me. If you were just like, if you just had a camera on her point of view, you could tell me that's
what she felt like,
or that happened,
right?
Like what I mean? Like, it may be dramatized, it may be, but you can tell me that happened. The question, though, that I have is, like, from the Dodgers side, who's running point here? Like, who's talking? Like, who is essentially, who is, I guess, directing the security team?
I just think, listen, it is a convention of baseball. You hit the ball into the stands.
Yeah.
It's owned by the person who catches the ball.
Yes.
That's the rules.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen Shohei Ohtani's contract.
Uh-huh.
He's a rich man.
I don't know if you also know this, though, Jeff.
He's got gambling bets he's got to settle. He is a rich man. Why would Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers in the way.
Jeff, it's Final Four weekend. That could $100,000 could be a lot for a parlay.
If he wants the ball, he can bid on the ball and pay $100,000 or hell, $20,000. Get a discount. That way,
Jeff,
they can
be
nice.
Jeff, I don't know if you know how the contract's structured.
It's complete.
Most of his money's coming later.
That's fine.
He might not be cash heavy.
Give him $100,000 in installments of $10,000. A year.
When my contract finally kicks in 20 years, you've got $100,000.
It's just an appalling way to behave. Mm-hmm. I just, screwing the fan is just.
It's almost like he's acting like someone that might need money.
I don't know if it's him or if it's the Dodgers.
Or is it an overzealous security person?
Yeah, it's the Dodgers / security.
Yeah.
I don't think Shohei probably.
I have a tough time believing that he was involved in this negotiation.
I'm not only going to give him a hat, nothing more than a hat, nothing. Correct. You know, no, that's nonsense. And then, speaking of other disgraceful things, the A's are moving to Sacramento for 3 years. It is interesting because obviously the Titans / Oilers moved here for a year. Now, 3 years is different than, that was supposed to be 2 years. That was supposed to be 2 years. They pulled out.
phrasing.
One of the differences is that, like, because Sacramento's thrilled by this,
yes.
right? Sacramento's thrilled. The mayor's thrilled. They want a chance.
Well, Sacramento's also one of those, like, it's not a it's not like a main player, but they're trying. They would like to have a Major League Baseball team.
Right. And but they also don't believe that having a Major League Baseball team in Las Vegas forecloses them having a Major League
Correct.
Baseball team, right?
Yes.
Whereas having a NFL team in Nashville
yes.
forever foreclosed, to the extent that it was even at all a realm of possibility, a team being in –
yes.
it was in Nashville instead of in Memphis. There
yes.
was no – this is more like back when Memphis fans used to fill the Liberty Bowl for NFL exhibition games to prove that they were worthy of being an NFL team. Then they did, because then there was something to prove in the interest of – we want to someday have an NFL franchise in Memphis. So back then, Memphians would pack the stadium to prove that they were worthy.
Right.
That's more what's happening in Sacramento
yes.
because it doesn't foreclose.
They view it as like their trial.
Having said that, it is still total garbage what the A's are doing.
Because duh.
What the A's payroll, $61 million, which is $20 million less than the cheapest ass other team
Correct.
In baseball.
You are at least one standard deviation away from the next cheapest.
As recently as 2019, the payroll was $109 million. Now it's $61 million. I've seen this. I've seen this when my beloved Buffalo Braves left Buffalo. Owner comes in.
Yep.
There's too many fans in the stands. So what do? You sell Bob McAdoo to the Knicks. You trade.
We cannot have this many people here.
You trade the pick that becomes Marcus Johnson to the Bucks for Swen Nader. You destroy the team. You then notice that fans aren't coming as much. And then you say, we got to get the hell out of here. We've got no fans.
Correct. We've also seen this in the documentary Major League.
Yeah, but it backfired. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It backfired brilliantly in Major League.
That might be why some would argue it's not a documentary. It's a film.
In the documentary.
Yes.
I only, by the way, watched Major League win in the past 6 months for the first time
really?
Ever.
And?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I think Bull Durham's better.
Oh,
but
Bull Durham's so much
Bull
better.
Durham's way funnier.
Bull Durham is so
but
much better.
But Bull Durham is also literally written by a guy that just has notebooks, and he was on the buses, and he
it's
was just right.
It's not close. It is so
but
much better.
It's still pretty funny.
By the way, my Bounty on Broad clothes. Did you see that?
I did see this. I got an alert yesterday.
Yeah. Bounty on Broad closed. And I did spots.
It took me by surprise.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you stop advertising on the Jeff Cox.
There's no
show.
Question. But let that be a lesson to you all.
No. That's not the lesson at all. The lesson is.
Dude, we're trying to sell some ads.
If you have a great run as a restaurant, which they did, it doesn't necessarily last forever.
Like, sure.
Bounty and that entire area over on Broad Avenue, and Bounty was a part of it, was revitalizing Broad Avenue. Where, by the way, you can stop over and see Milo the Bernese Mountain Dog at the at Tom Clifton's art gallery over there while you're there. That's still open, and Milo's still there. But but Bounty's closed, and it was a terrific restaurant. And one reason why I'll be honest. I was surprised they did as many commercials as they did, but they worked for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thrilled to send people to Bounty on Broad because the food was delicious. It really was a happy, joyous vibe to the place. And the other thing was, and they didn't always advertise this, is that it was 100% gluten-free. And if you are, some people just like, I don't eat gluten because they don't like gluten, right? As whatever, for whatever reason. But there are people who have celiac disease who, if they eat gluten, they get sick. And this was the run restaurant you could go into if you like really had a, if you couldn't eat gluten, where you could eat anything on the menu. And you didn't have to worry about cross-contamination. And secretly, it's one reason they started it, because someone in one of the owner's families was celiac.
Yeah.
And so... and I didn't talk about that a lot because some people you hear gluten-free, they're like, I don't want to go to a restaurant that's gluten-free. As I used to say all the time, it just means they use cornmeal instead of wheat. It's
Correct.
Absolutely freaking delicious. Didn't matter. But I was sad to see it close. But I'm – you're reminded how incredibly hard it is.
Oh, in the restaurant business? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, now we talk about the Majestic downtown, and it's just interesting. I see the owners of the Majestic posting on social media about all things Memphis, and it's because restaurant people tend to be invested in the broader community, too.
Sure.
In the health of the broader community, too. It's really clear to me that the folks at the Majestic are totally invested in downtown and what is happening
downtown.
Well,
it makes sense. If you're in the restaurant business, you need people to go out.
Right. You need people to go out. Yeah. And here's the other thing. Weirdly enough, at a time when it feels like all of us are backbiting over everything, it often feels like restaurant people support other restaurant people.
Agreed.
Like, I see restaurant people posting about meals they've had at other restaurants all the time.
I feel like one of the easiest people that you can get to say, like, hey, you know, what are some of your favorite? Other chefs are very good at, like, here are the places I eat.
Anyway, I was sorry to hear that Bounty closed. We got Jason Smith coming up next. Chris Harrington after that on a Friday here on the Jeff Calkins Show. I was actually reading a story in the New York Times about gambling today. They did a survey. They did a study watching NHL games and NBA games.
Okay.
And 20% of the programming you take in when you watch a NBA game or a NHL game, 21% of that programming involves gambling. Now, some of it's just like if they're giving you the odds at halftime or the updated odds. Some of it's you see a gambling logo, right? Is it on the ice?
Okay,
right?
I was like, that feels extraordinary. No, that's okay, I'm with you.
I was wondering because it doesn't feel like 21% is Rob Fisher giving me the updated odds.
If you can see a or subliminal,
they're posting odds on the bottom of the screen or whatever. And yes, you're seeing a logo for a whatever, a DraftKings or FanDuel or whoever it is, as you're watching the game. It's 21% of what you're consuming involves gambling. It's interesting, by the way, this is part of it, is that you also, by the way, if as a country, if we were worried about gambling and the pervasiveness of it, and I know you've pointed out the upside, right? The upside is that it's more closely regulated, et cetera.
Monitored,
and that is true. Yeah, monitored, and that is true. You aren't allowed to regulate advertising because advertising is free speech.
Yep.
Right? So you can't – a state did just say, Louisiana just said you're not going to have prop bets on college sports. Louisiana just said that.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't say we're not going to let gambling people advertise or whatever else, because that's a First Amendment violation.
So
then you might ask yourself, why don't we see tobacco ads?
Those were limited. Was the 90s?
It still would have been against the law. Tobacco companies agreed to it.
Was this part of the settlement?
It's part of the settlement. Okay. Yeah, the government cannot mandate you can't have tobacco ads.
Right.
That would be a violation of the First Amendment. But the government can reach an agreement with the tobacco companies, which is what happened. Okay, we aren't gonna market our products. Anyway, so gambling is everywhere.
It is funny, like whenever you like go back and you like watch old games to like see the billboards, it's like Marlboro.
Yeah. Now, anyway, most people who gamble do it for fun and some even for profit, but about 5% struggle with it. And for those people, that can be a real crisis, a financial crisis, family crisis, emotional crisis, relationship crisis. And for those people, there is the gambling clinic. They're not anti-gambling at the gambling clinic, and they've been doing this since 1999. They have helped hundreds and hundreds of people. They have an office over at the University of Memphis, set up individual confidential appointments with a expert in gambling addiction to help you figure out how to make sense of it and get it under control in your own life. If this applies to you or someone you love, it is the Gambling Clinic, thegamblingclinic.com. Jason Smith coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, it's a BetMGM College Basketball Update, presented by BetMGM on 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN is your home for tournament updates presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. And this weekend, we have the Final Four with NC State and Purdue on Saturday at 5:09 on TBS. Purdue favored by 8.5. Alabama takes on number one UConn. That game at 7:50 on TBS. UConn favored by 11.5. After the Final Four on Saturday, we'll have the NCAA final on Monday night. Tonight in women's hoops, NC State takes on South Carolina at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Also in the women's Final Four, UConn taking on number one Iowa. That game on ESPN. Iowa favored by 2.5. It's the late game tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN. This report is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Please gamble responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A car is never just a car. Kelley Blue Book knows it's so much more than that. It's your commuting chariot, your road trip refuge, your I just need a reason to get out of the house. Your car is there for everything. And for everything car, there's Kelley Blue Book. Need a new set of wheels? Price it on Kelley Blue Book. Problem under the hood? Fix it with Kelley Blue Book. Can another car do the job better? Trade it or sell it on Kelley Blue Book. We're here mile after mile, moment after moment. Price it, fix it, trade it, sell it. KBB.com. Visit KelleyBlueBook.com to get the journey started.
Hey, Howie, what's going on at the Robert Irwin Jewelers Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended this Saturday?
The six-hour 60% off sale.
60% off? You mean up to 60% off?
No, let me clear this up. It's not up to. It is 60% off. Between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. this Saturday, you could get 60% off anything that's in our showcases.
This Saturday only at Robert Irwin Jewelers in the Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended.
It's a legit 60% off sale. Do not miss it.
Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices. And when you download the Kroger app, you can enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. So it's easy to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right now, fresh red or black seedless grapes are on sale for only $1.77 a pound with your card and digital coupon. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, you. Day's warming up. Looking like spring. And at New Balance Memphis, we've got the thing. What pops and what's fresh? Check the selects. Come together at New Balance Memphis at Poplar and 240 across from Cadillac of Memphis. New Balance Memphis, we got now.
Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tourney. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So bet on that big favorite and laugh to the bank. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines, and you can even pick who's going to win it all. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K. And bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire just 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-700-6898. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-700-6898. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-700-6898. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-700-6898. 800-700-6898 or BigLou.com.
Heart Royal Flush Tour 2024.
Barracuda.
November 14th, FedEx Forum. A journey through the hits and timeless classics. The iconic band returns with special guests. Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at heart-music.com. Heart with Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening. Produced by AEG Presents.
Warmer weather means getting together with friends on a patio. But where? Owen Brennan's, that's where. The patio at Owen Brennan's is an oasis, an escape from the hustle and the bustle of life. For lunch, dinner, or cocktails, the patio at Owen Brennan's is calling your name. Answer the call.
Mealtime will be a breeze this spring when you shop at Family Dollar. Whether you're shopping for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you'll be sure to find great deals on every meal for the whole family. Only at Family Dollar. Helping you do more.
Pros save big every day when you buy in bulk at Lowe's. Save 10% when you buy 68 or more select OSB sheathing. Plus, save an extra 5% every day on eligible purchases when you use your Lowe's business credit card. Visit us for the materials you need. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. 5% offer subject to credit approval. Exclusions and terms apply. See store Lowe's.com/credit for details. U.S. only.
Get the one and done you want for your dog's monthly protection. NexGard Plus, a Foxolana, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Protects against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. All in one delicious, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Hey, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. Tourney time is here. Mike Valeni and I are going through every matchup of the big dance over on the podcast. We're talking sides, totals, mixing a reckless parlay every now and then. Come on, it's fun. We've got tourney trends, futures plays, who wins the national title, something for every bettor and every sports fan. Region by region, game by game, however you want to digest it, it's there. Download Cash the Ticket today. It's on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's right, $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that is safe, secure, and easy to use. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required, bonus issued is non-withdrawable, bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Joined now by Jason Smith, Jason and John, every single day from 11 till 2, must-listen radio every single day for me, certainly as I'm driving around town doing my errands usually after I wrap up my own show. But we have a disagreement here, Jason, on this show, and the tide is turning against me, sadly. I know you have Anthony Sane on your show. We were talking about the great love fest for deserved love fest for Marc Gasol. But then I was pointing out that even in the midst of all of these love fests, there were elements of fans who criticized. Like, someday Jaren might have his number retired, right? And people might forget that Jaren was crushed by a lot of people for a long time. Why doesn't he rebound? Whatever else, right? There's criticism of even our most beloved stars. And so we were debating who at their zenith was more criticized by Grizzlies fandom, Tony Allen or Marc Gasol? What's the answer?
I think it's Mark, right? We didn't get mad at Tony until the Golden State series.
We just accepted Tony's flaws for who he was.
Exactly.
Well, it's my policy.
But at their zenith, yeah, I think I got to go. Now, whose side am I on? I'm assuming that was Jeffrey Wright's
side. All that matters, Jason, is that he told the truth.
It is my policy. It is my policy on this show. I have several policies on the show. It's a very loosely run show, but there's several things that—
Always get the meatloaf.
One is always order the meatloaf. And two, never concede that Jeffrey is right.
Right.
And sadly, I don't
so
like seeing
is.
Other people be happy. I may be forced to concede because Anthony weighed in immediately and said Mark was much more criticized than Tony Allen.
Yeah.
And so what was he being criticized for being passive? Is that what he was being criticized for?
Not really. It's honestly, you can take the same Jaren arguments and they were all
rebounding.
Used against Mark. Yeah.
But he was
and didn't score enough.
I
was one of those guys. Oh man, I was all over the rebounding.
Really?
I would come in on the air and yell about it.
He just let Zebo gobble up all the rebounds. That's the difference. Right now, if Jaren's not getting them, no one's getting them. And with Mark, he was like, I don't need numbers. I'm not interested in numbers. I'm just interested in winning the game. Zebo, you take the rebound. So
that's pretty much it. But I have to hold up my hand. I was one of those ones yelling. Yes, I was part of it. So that's why I must speak the truth here.
Whereas Jeffrey was always, I'm not saying you were.
You people are wrong.
I'm not saying you're a Tony Allen hater, but.
No, I am.
Keenly aware of his flaws.
Correct.
You were keenly aware of his flaws.
Dribbling, shooting, anything that was
so
really skilled.
Anyway, it'll be a fun night tomorrow at FedEx Forum. Less fun maybe tonight, depending, whatever. You like seeing like some of the other guys get a chance.
If you're a Hustle fan,
come and see him in the big place. All right,
I'll tell Mark to stay away tonight. Don't.
He shouldn't go tonight. You don't want to see
one,
this.
Yeah. In terms of you know those involved tomorrow, I don't mean fans. Yes, I mean
I think he will stay away tonight.
It's a cheap ticket, but yes, Mark should completely stay away tonight. That will not be anything he recognizes.
He should. He would stay away because you don't want to also spoil. You don't want to spoil anything by jumping out of the cake too early.
Spend the day at Whole Foods and everything else, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Right. Pick out some good eggplant, and we'll move on. So, all right. How big is the news about PJ Haggerty?
I mean, I think it's pretty big, and it's really big if you can bring back David Jones. But it's either way, if you don't get David Jones back, and that's certainly a great possibility, depending upon what the NBA tells him, it's a great start. You're talking about the guy that was right behind David Jones in scoring in the American Athletic Conference. So you have to fill. I mean, scoring, rebounding, defense. You need the whole gamut. And so to get PJ Haggerty, who, I mean, as a freshman. To be third in the country, and some of that with Jeffrey and yesterday on his show, to be third in the country and fouls drawn, we saw it against.
He shot
against
more
Memphis.
Foul shots than David Jones, which is incredible.
Right. I mean, there's Zach Edey, and then there's essentially this guy in terms of those that played on a decently high level. Because I think the other kid was Austin Peay or some other that was second. But my point is, it wasn't just what we saw from him in that Tigers game where he goes for 27, you know, had 3-4 steals. He was doing a little bit of everything in that game. Only had the 2 turnovers, I think it was like 38 minutes. I mean, he was everywhere that game. He was doing it all season. Had 32 in the final regular season game against South Florida when South Florida was ranked there to end the season. So to get him is a good start on what you've got to do. But like I talked about with Jeffrey yesterday, you've got a ton more work to do, and now the key is how do you put the rest of it together. If you've got David Jones and P.J. Haggerty, it's a hell of a 1-2 punch, especially in the American. Again, it's the top 2 scorers from last year. But with P.J., I think there's another dimension, a key dimension. Defensively, He's fourth in the AAC in steals last year. He's long at 6'3" and plays much bigger than he is. I think it was 5.5 rebounds, so he's a guy that'll mix it up for you. And the fouls, too, tell you. I mean, this is a guy that likes the physicality or certainly can play through it, likes it. And so I think from the defensive standpoint, especially with what they lost last year in terms of that identity, P.J. Haggerty can help you there as well, which is really could be just as important, frankly, as whatever he does offensively for you. Now, I mean, 80 turnovers last year. You know, he had 119 assists as their main, you know, ball handler, but he also had 80 turnovers. You put that with David Jones, and you're talking, what, over 150, you know, turnovers. So, again, the question becomes, okay, is he going to be your lead ball handler? Are you going to go get another point guard that could sort of be the guy to set them both up? P.J. Haggerty had the ball in his hands a lot last year, and I don't think it's going to change much this year. I'd still think you know, another point guard that's more that ball handler. Obviously some role players now, but yes, to answer your question, Jeff, especially with what you're coming off of and knowing how much you've got to replace, yeah, P.J. Haggerty's a good get, but there's a lot more to do.
It's clearly good news. There's no question.
Oh, absolutely.
It's good news. Now, here's the thing. It has been suggested to me by someone who's more of a slightly cynical bent.
Sure.
Isn't this exactly what Penny Hardaway did last year, which is get players who put up big numbers on bad teams? And
that's a fair point.
Let's see how that worked out. And I'll be honest. Like, I saw P.J. Haggerty play against Memphis. But, like, one of the interesting things, phenomena to me, is unless you really are watching a ton of college basketball or a ton of Grizzlies basketball, of NBA basketball, sometimes we acquire these players one way or another. Our teams acquire these players, whether it's Javon Quinterly or whether it's Jordan Brown, and there's this exuberant excitement where you're like, look at that, Javon Quinterly, man, that dude is, you know, and Jordan Brown, look at the numbers he put up. Like, he's going to be great. I remember when the Grizzlies traded for Jeff Green, and I'm like, Jeff Green, he could put him, and here's the truth, and I'll give Chris Harrington credit for this, because he was skeptical about Jeff Green for the beginning, because he'd watched him more. I just knew him as a, you know, guy who was the fourth pick in the draft or something, fifth pick in the draft, who put up decent numbers, who was a great athlete. But then when they get here, you're like, oh, now I see the flaws of Jordan Brown or Javon Quinterly or Jeff Green or whoever else. Is it possible? Like, how comfortable do you feel about knowing what P.J. Haggerty is and will be as a Tiger?
Again, you don't, but that we've also seen David Jones, who came from one of those situations and be honorable mention All-America. Here's the key, not having a lot of those guys. Another key point with P.J. Haggerty, it's not Jaquan Walton, it's not Javon Quinterly, it's not Jordan Brown, in the sense that they're one and done. So hopefully P.J. Haggerty is going to be what we said Penny Hardaway needs. The multi-year transfer player where he's got 3 years of eligibility. Hopefully you're keeping him for at least two. You know, that would be the hope in this case. And so, again, now, key question, how many of those guys do you have? You're right, because you don't know how they're going to pan out, Jeff, until they get here. If you've got 4 to 5 of them, could be tougher. So, again, like I've pointed out, maybe the key here is that you go back to what you did 2 years ago where you've got a couple of these guys, right? And the rest of them are more the role players that you've seen. You know, it can always be different when they get here. But at this point now, how you put together the rest of this is the key. You go out and get 4 or 5 more P.J. Haggertys that are all expecting to be on the ball and were all their leading scorers last year in losing situations, then yes, my concern level goes up. But I think Penny Hardaway, we've seen, you know, he adjusts from situation. Now, can he adjust too much as he did last year? You go all these guys that are super experienced, but they're all one and done. Yes. But what we've seen from Penny is he typically from season to season has adjusted. I expect him to do so this year. And I think it'll look more like, again, what it was 2 years ago, where you've got at least going in an established pecking order, right? A 1, a 2, a 3. You're going to need a big that can score, and then everybody else sort of falling in line. That's my hope, Jeff. That's my hope from Penny. Everything he went through last year with that season is that, I mean, that's the key now is the how you construct the rest of this roster. Hopefully we'll see some sort of adjustments in that thing and more multi-year transfer guys like hopefully P.J. Haggerty's going to be.
There's an opening at Arkansas, job opening at Arkansas, and Chris Beard is said to be a candidate. Does Chris Beard owe Ole Miss, given that they went out on a limb for him, does he owe Ole Miss more than a year?
That's interesting. remember Chris Beard's the guy that took the UNLV job for a second, backed out.
Yep.
To go to Ole Miss stuck their Jeffrey's right. They stuck their neck out there for him. They were the first to say, okay, come, we'll take the heat for you. Come on in. And so Chris Beard is absolutely indebted to them. But it's also the business of college basketball. And Chris Beard was at Arkansas for a year. He got other opportunities. He moved up. I mean, that's been the story of his life, frankly, since he got that Little Rock job. For that 1 year, he moves up. And so, I mean, if that opportunity comes and Arkansas is throwing a ton at you, I still think right. I mean, the pressure goes up. Jeffrey's right. Guys have been fired at Arkansas, but it's still a better job at this point than Ole Miss is. And so I wouldn't trust that Chris Beard's going to feel so indebted that, oh, yeah, I got to give him another year, because then you're just another year removed from him leaving. I mean, I don't think Ole Miss ever thought that they're going to be able to keep Chris Beard long, some extended amount of time. And so if you're Arkansas, you absolutely go for it. And I think if you're Chris Beard, you probably take it.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Jason, thank you very much. I'll be listening
take
from
care,
11
brother.
To 10.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah. It's interesting. If you're Ole Miss, now that Will Wade is out there and available, would you almost just as soon, if you knew Chris Beard was going to leave after next year, would you just as soon he just go ahead and leave now?
I would imagine everyone in these situations don't want it to drag out.
Right, but is it dragging out if he stays another year? But you know that he will be, I mean, as long as there's not a recurrence of the issues that got him in trouble in the first place, you know that he's going to be, he's a good coach. He's going to be coveted.
Sure. I mean, I do think, though, I think you'd rather have one. I think you'd rather have more than 1 year.
You'd clearly rather, yeah. You'd clearly rather have.
But, I mean, I'm sitting, if you just think about it in these terms, the Arkansas job is better than the Ole Miss job.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.